Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. My text is, take with you words and turn to the Lord. You may be seated. My subject is the war of words. The Bible said the tongue is the most unruly member of the body. And God has chosen the tongue to be the most powerful member of the body. Reason why you speak with other tongues when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that is the indication that you have surrendered totally to God, because that's the unruly member of your body. And you don't want to speak in tongues. You want to speak in English or Spanish or something you are familiar with. The Bible indicates that words are a required mandate to approaching God. What you say when you come. Remember, this whole world was created not when God got down on his knees and with his fingers went through the sand and formed us, but the world was formed when God spoke. He spoke it into existence. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by what? By the word of God. I don't think we understand how powerful what we say is, especially after we have been saved and filled with God's Spirit. The Scripture tells us how important it is. Without words, there is no reconciliation. It's the difference, literally. Your words are the difference, literally, between life and death. Jesus said that in Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It does matter what you say. Words we take to God are quite easily categorized. We talk to God. I can break them down into three categories. When you talk to God, you're either talking about repentance, you're talking about confession, or you're talking about possession. Repentance has to do with your restoration, being reconciled to the Lord. The confession is your worship, when you begin to offer adulation to him and describe his attributes and his merits. That's your worship. And your possession is your prayer, when you begin to say, God, this is what I need. And so your words are very important, and they're in these three categories. Brain poison. You've never heard that phrase. I've never heard it before. Brain poison. You know, I see on television, I don't know, the devil's using this. I got to watch those little deals where those women were poisoning their husband by putting antifreeze in their husband's orange juice. I don't drink a lot of orange juice anymore. I have a huge life insurance policy, that so if I would go to the Lord before Becky here, y'all don't have to worry about taking care of. She's taken care of. But sometimes when I look at that orange juice, I think about that insurance policy. Then I think about that TV policy. It's called brain poison. Television will poison your brain. It really will. And not only does television negative words, fearful words, profane words will poison your brain. The Bible said faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Fear comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing. Doubt comes by hearing. It poisons your brain. That's the reason why you've got to do your best to filter what comes into your mind. Let me just say this. If you feed willingly on poison words, I'm not sure God's going to protect you from that, if you do it willingly. You're going to hear poison words at work. That's not willingly. God will protect you from those. But if you just feed on things that are negative or profane, it's going to poison your brain. And you're not going to be what God wants you to be. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so God wants to do that. I've told you, and now I've heard Brandon use this same deal, but I just like, I'm a big fan of George Foreman. You know George Foreman, the boxer? You know he's a Pentecostal preacher. Brother Phillips, that I just mentioned a while ago, he called George about 25 years ago, and he said, he got his number, called him. He said, George, this is Pastor Kenneth Phillips in Austin, and he said, I want you to come and preach in our church. And he said, well, Brother Phillips, I might do that. I got to ask you a question. How big is your church? And Brother Phillips said, we seat 2,200. And George said, I'm sorry, Brother Phillips, I can't come. I only go to little churches where I'm really helping a lot that can't afford to pay a preacher, and I come and help them. So he wouldn't go to the big church. George Foreman's got a really good heart. But he told the story about, he said, my father wasn't an excellent father. But he said one thing he did, every time I got in his presence, he'd take his hand and rub it over my head and say, George Foreman, heavyweight champion of the world. He said that so much, I got to believe in that. Well, friend, I'm going to tell you what. God is rubbing your head right now, and he's calling your name, and he's telling the devil, this lady's perfect. This man's perfect. This is a son of God. God's saying good things about you, but you've got to say good things about yourself. By the word of two or three men, every word is established. You've got to agree with the good things. You've got to agree with God. You've got to know when to speak and when to be silenced. The Bible says a fool is known by his multitude of words, just talking when he should be quiet. The Bible tells us that Christ was the example. When he was being led to that cross, what does the Bible say? He was led like a lamb, dumb to the slaughter. He said in Psalms, he said, I opened not my mouth. Sometimes you're going to go through trials, and the best thing you can do is just shut your mouth. That's the reason why the Bible said, hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. It's so important. You know, the Bible said about Job, it said in all of this, he did not speak foolishly or charge God. One of the worst things, you know, when somebody says GD in my presence, man, it just goes down my spine like a chalk on a chalkboard. I can't stand people using the Lord's name. Or I heard somebody the other day, and they used Jesus Christ just as slang. That just did, that does something to me. Because that's so powerful in my life. But there's something else that is just as bad and maybe worse. And that is blaming God for things that he's not responsible for. That's terrible. And I hear it all the time. And you know, religion is a big purveyor of that. Some of their doctrines. Well, the Lord gave me this. I've heard it said, the Lord gave me this to put me in the hospital to slow me down. I don't believe that ever happened. Ever. Well, the Lord, you know, the Lord's got his ways. No, that's not one of his ways. And when you blame God, you know, for God, things that God didn't do that are negative in your life, that's going to have an adverse effect on you. You've got to learn when to be silent and when to speak. When God is delivering out Israel out of the slavery of Egypt, remember what he did? He had them coming out. He told them to be quiet for a while. That's the way God works. Remember when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho? God said, you march around and you don't say anything. And then on that seventh day, you begin to shout. There's a time to shout. There's a time to speak positively. There's a time to be silent. But there's never a time to speak negatively. Anytime you speak negatively, you are giving the devil a tool to work in your life. You remember when John the Baptist was about to be born? His mother was carrying him, and his daddy was there, and the crowd was there. And they said, what shall we name him? And somebody said, well, we need to name him Zacharias after his daddy. That wasn't God's word. And you know what God did? God called Zacharias to be stricken with dumbness. In other words, he could not speak. And then he told Zacharias what the name was to be. And when the time came, Zacharias took a pen and a pad and wrote, "His name shall be called John." It's important that you know the name. And that's the reason why we understand that the whole family in heaven, on earth, is named that name. Folks, there is no name like the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I beseech you that you don't use it when it's not being used effectively? You don't use it as slang. You don't use it as a curse word. You don't use it just by accident. When you say Jesus, I was in just 2 weeks ago, I totaled a car. I was in Arizona, and I was driving, and the Lord spoke to me. I don't know why it works. The Lord spoke to me and said, "You're going to be involved in an accident in a little while." And I had a pastor with me, and I said, "Wow." And I just, in my mind, I was telling the Lord, he said, "You're going to be all right, but you're going to be in an accident." Now, why God would work this way, I don't know. But sure enough, an hour and a half later, I was coming into Scottsdale, Phoenix, and a woman run a stop sign and plowed right into the side of my rent car and hit and tore the front wheel and all over, and did not put a scratch on me, her, or the pastor that was with me. But I didn't have time to say anything but one word: Jesus. Jesus. I believe that one word was the difference of life and death. That one word was the difference between going to the hospital. Those policemen took such good care of me. They put me in the car, said, "Are you cool?" It was 115, and they wanted to make sure I was cool enough. The woman that hit me, when she found out I was a pastor, she introduced me to her family. She was crying. She said, "Oh, I almost killed a man of God." She was such a sweet lady, but God took care of that. But I believe it was because I knew one thing. I know the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Friend, it's like a currency. You don't just leave your checkbook with signed checks around somewhere because it's valuable. You don't leave cash laying around. You don't leave cash on the streets because it's valuable. Remember the value of the name of Jesus, and don't use it until using it for a purpose. When you pray in the name of Jesus. When you confess in the name of Jesus. When you worship in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it's so important in that we know how to take the words and turn to God. Jesus said to Peter, said, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah. But who do you say that I am? You know, Peter was, he had some problems, but he was chosen to be the spokesman on the day of Pentecost, which was the birthday of the church. I believe this is where Jesus chose him for that honor, because when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" nobody answered except Peter. Peter said, "I say thou art Jesus Christ, the rock, the rock." He knew who it was. And so Jesus is saying to us, "Who do men say?" Well, my doctor says I got cancer. But what do you say? My doctor says I got sickle cell. What do you say? My doctor says I got leukemia. What do you say? My boss says I'm fired and I'm not a good employee. But what do you say? Taking those words with you, you begin to make the same confessions over yourself that God makes over you. God calls you precious. God calls you precious. God calls you his son. You need to begin to confess what God is confessing. I promise you, if you and your God get on the same page with your confession that Satan has no power over you. But when you begin to confess negative things, you're not on God's side. I'm on the Lord's side. The Lord is on my side. Prove it by agreeing with God. And what God says you are healed. I love the way the Bible said it. It said, by his stripes, we were healed. That's what it says. And then another verse says, by his stripes we are healed. It puts it in both tenses. In other words, it's already been done. And then the other one is, I now receive it in Jesus' name. Learn to confess that. Say, well, I'm an addict. You know, I think that the 12-step program with alcoholism is a wonderful thing. But the one thing that I don't like that they do, they tell their people to confess always, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't like that one thing. They do everything else I like. But don't say that. You're not an alcoholic. God has changed you. I saw yesterday come up on my phone that Percy had sent me a message a couple of years ago, and he said, thank you for the message yesterday. It changed my life. You remember Percy Price? Just been gone to heaven a little while now. But he was drinking a quart of whiskey a day before he got saved. But you don't say, I'm an alcoholic. You say, God has made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Folks, I'm teaching you something that's very difficult to do. I mean, I've been living for God since I was 10 years old. That means I've been living for God nearly 12 years. I've been living for God a long time, folks. And still, I struggle with this. It's just hard to hear a bad report or see bad news and not respond. Well, that's about right. I knew that was going to happen. But we've got to arrest that and say, I am not like that anymore. I'm a new creature, and I've got a new vocabulary. Praise God. Not only do we speak with a new tongue, meaning another language, we speak with a new tongue, meaning that we do not say negative or profane things anymore. We say great things. Who do you say that I am? I say that thou art the Christ. Praise God. Jesus Christ is more than able to meet and perform every miracle you need, but you have to cooperate with him. And one of the ways that you cooperate with him is through your words. And the devil is begging you to say the wrong thing. The devil is begging you to make negative confession. The devil is begging you to condemn yourself. And just with your tongue, say, well, that's right. I never could live for God like other people. Those are negative confessions. You need to say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer, praise God. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. That is a trick of the devil, but it will not come to fruition. God's going to turn it around. What the devil means for evil, the Lord is going to turn to good. I am saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I am the apple of God's eye. I am in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. I am a new creation in God's hand. And praise God, that's all there is to it. The old man is dead. The new man is alive. I've been born again. I'm something. I'm a new species, praise God. That's the reason I reject the doctrine that's taught so much in the Christian church that you're under a generational curse after you get saved. That's simply not true, folks. You've got to be careful that you don't do anything that belittles the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, there's nothing worse than when you complete a job and somebody come in and criticize it. You paint the whole house. Somebody said you missed one spot right there. They come in and criticize. Do you realize that after you're saved and you begin to admit things and confess things like, you know, I'm saved, but I'm under a generational curse. Did you know that you're criticizing the finished work of Christ? He said, it is finished. He didn't say it's began. He didn't say I'm still working on it. It is finished. And so you are not under a generational curse. You might be doing things you saw your daddy do or your mama do it. Stop. Stop. You've got the power to look at them. That's one thing God has given me, is the power to look at other people and say, they did that, and that's the result. I don't want that result. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something different. I'm not under a generational curse. My daddy had a heart attack when he's 57. I'm 73. I hadn't had no heart attacks. Say, well, you know, maybe you're going. No, I'm not going to. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm not confessing that. I believe something happened to me that is greater than my genetics. I believe something is bigger than my flesh. I have been born again. I am wonderfully made and created and remade in Jesus Christ, praise God. And so every day I've got to get up and confess that. I just love this. I think I used this Wednesday night, but I'm going to use it again. It's just, to me, it means so much. I preached a sermon on all over the country called The Four Sayings of the Bible. The four sayings of the Bible. He said, don't say this. Don't say this. He said, righteousness is of faith speaketh on this wise. Did you hear what he said? First, you've got to understand you are the righteousness of God. How'd you get that way? By quitting smoking? That didn't make you righteous. A lot of people quit smoking that don't know Jesus. That's not what made you righteous. What made you righteous was you came and confessed and repented, and Jesus Christ caused you to be born again. And now the Bible said that Abraham believed, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You are righteous. That's hard for your mother-in-law to understand, but you're righteous. But it's harder for you to understand sometimes. I am the righteousness of God. Not through my works, Paul said, that I should boast. I am the righteousness of God through the finished works of Jesus Christ. And so he said, if you understand you're righteous, he said, righteousness speaks on this way. Righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise. And then he said, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? He said, don't ever say Jesus is not here. Don't ever say that. If you've been born again, you should never, ever confess that Jesus is not with you. He's not in heaven. He's in you. He said, say not who will ascend. And when Jesus Christ, by the time he died and was resurrected, the Bible teaches us that he descended into the inner parts of the earth. But he's not there anymore. He said, so the second, he said, don't ever say who's going to ascend and bring Jesus down. He said, don't ever say who's going to descend and bring Jesus up. Let me help you with this, folks. If you truly been born again, then you don't say who is going to get T.D. Jakes at my bedside. That's what he's saying. You're not depending on a great minister with a great reputation that you hold in great esteem. He said, the word of faith is nigh thee in your mouth. What do you say? You don't say Jesus is up there or Jesus is down there. You say Jesus is in me. And so praise God, I'm going to overcome this cancer. I'm going to overcome this disease. Praise God. Sister Klein is going through a miracle in her life. Praise God. Sister Klein, you're in this building right now. I'm confessing with you that not only the pain is gone, her pain is gone. She's been in severe pain. The pain is gone. But now I'm confessing that the vision is going to clear up. Why? Because I know you, Sister Klein. I know Brother Sister Klein. They are one of the most godly couples I've ever met. And praise God, Sister Klein, God is in you. And so healing is not going to come from above. It's not going to come from beneath. It's going to flow out of you. And your eyes are going to be healed in the way that you're going to have perfect vision in Jesus' name. I say that to other people in this building. I don't care what the devil is trying to do to you in your relationship, on your job, in your body, in your finance. The devil is a liar. Begin to speak the words. I am blessed coming in and going out. My cup is not half full. My cup overfloweth, praise God. I am not in lack. I am in prosperity.